Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show and welcome to a new month. Today's May 1st.
Friends do.
On a Wednesday, and we're back here with you. We have a good friend on the show, a good friend of the show, and his name is Jim Christina. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Oh, hi. I didn't prepare. I did not.
Right. You didn't know we were going to approach you right away.
I did know that today is May 1st, and I feel like going and grabbing a ribbon and dancing around a maple.
Really?
I do.
Oh, yeah. May 1st is like what? The Day of the Laborers?
May Day,
right.
What does that mean?
Day of the Laborers, of people at work, right?
No. No? It's Labor Day.
No, but for the world, it's like...
I don't know.
So what does May Day mean?
I mean, it just means you get naked and dance around a pole, grabbing a ribbon.
Why?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that before ever in my life.
That's because you're from Boston. You wouldn't.
I'm telling you. It's...
Sam's never heard of it either. He's literally Googling it right now. As we...
Yeah, I'm telling you. What's May Day? Let's see. It's probably celebrated in many countries as traditional springtime festival... Or International Day Honoring Workers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I'm retired, so I mean, it's not honoring me. It's honoring you.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's for us. But
and are you working now? Because if you are, it's honoring you, too. If
exactly. Not, there you go,
much.
You know.
I am.
She's always working. Come on. She's a hard worker. How you doing, Danny?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What, you hungover? Your eyes are, like, swollen.
I know.
What happened?
We just had our podcast last night, and we had girl chat before, which involved tequila, and then we had girl chat after, which involved tequila. It didn't even do anything. It was just in my apartment, and then I went to bed last night. I was like, I'm not feeling too good.
Wow.
And then I woke up at like 8:45 this morning, and I feel like ass.
Really?
Yep.
Well, what can I say, you know?
But I promised myself on May 1st that I was giving up coffee for a month.
Why?
I just want to see if it makes a difference on my body.
Really?
I'm not going to drink any other day but Tuesdays.
Uh-huh.
And chocolate. And I don't really like chocolate, but I have an addiction to the Kinder chocolate, you know, with the milk in the middle.
I've been
buying them and eating like a pack a day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm giving it up.
You know what's really good?
What?
It's those little miniature Heath bars and Crown Royal.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean Crown Royal?
Crown Royal whiskey.
Oh, like you dip it.
No, well, you bite a
you eat
thingy
it
and then you take a drink of whiskey.
Yeah.
I do
really
like
tasty.
Heath Bar. Like on
Heath
ice cream.
Are great,
yeah.
Aren't they?
When I used to get frozen yogurt and stuff, I would get Heath Bar on top, like the crumble. Really good, yeah.
But with alcohol, that sounds interesting.
Well, I've only tried it with the Crown Royal.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't do so well with martinis and stuff.
Yeah,
Crown
I was
going
to say chocolate and vodka
or
tequila doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. My co-host on my radio show, Bobby Jean, she drinks wine and eats box chocolates.
Yeah, wine and chocolate go well together.
Yeah.
So
really?
I was drinking like a bottle of wine a night. Or like 3/4 of a bottle.
That's
and
true.
Eating a box of chocolate. And I was like, okay.
That's not a good lifestyle.
Yeah. And I've noticed, I weighed myself yesterday, and I've literally gained 10 pounds.
Wow. Really?
10 pounds. I can see it.
Since
when I'm naked, I can see it.
Since when?
Probably between now and January. Because January I was 121. Now I'm 131.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, May 1st, I'm going to try to give up some stuff and see if it makes a difference.
Well, you know, wine and chocolates, that's two of the two major, that's three of the two of the three major food groups.
Yeah. So, eating it all in one sitting.
Yeah. The third is nuts.
Well, I'm definitely drinking on Tuesdays, but I'm going to try not to drink on Tuesdays at least for a month to see if, like, the liquor added a lot of weight.
It probably does, right?
Yeah.
It makes you want to eat.
Because I was drinking every single day,
really?
7 days a week.
It's glucose. You know, it just turns to sugar.
Yeah.
So, if you drink, don't eat.
Huh.
No,
and I tell you, my father's friend, my father used to be a huge martini drinker.
Mm. Really?
My dad and his buddies, holy crap, they would go through like a bottle of gin a night.
Right.
When they were really into it. But they had a philosophy, and they said, look, if you're going to drink martinis, this is the way to do it. Drink a martini, then drink a glass of water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you stay, not only do you stay hydrated, but it helps flush the alcohol through your system.
Oh, okay. So there you go. You know, you learned the lesson.
Drink water. Drink like tequila. Drink tequila, shots of tequila, and drink water.
I didn't drink any water last night.
Don't do tequila shots and wash it down with beer.
No. I'm not a beer drinker. I've never been a beer drinker. I hate the taste of beer. I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, well depends.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's a good idea. You know, change your lifestyle a little
bit. Ramen noodles is on the list, but honestly, when I don't feel good, ramen noodles helps my like tummy feel better. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to give that up for a whole month. Because I have like stomach problems like once a week.
You don't have to give that up, do you?
The sodium's crazy. Yeah. You read the back of the pack. It's like, it's like has enough sodium to feed a family.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Like seven
for a week.
People. Yeah.
Yeah.
In one little thing.
My mom used to we got really, really hammered one Christmas Eve. Oh my god, we were so Jesus, we like crawling.
Right.
The next morning, Christmas morning, my mom gets everybody up and she feeds us this big greasy breakfast.
Mm,
hash browns
great.
And eggs and toast and bacon.
That's why I just got a burrito.
And you feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like they say you hangover, best thing in the world is a
greasy
breakfast.
I don't know if this is technically sounds greasy, but I drove by and I was like, this is going to help.
Oh, it probably will.
Yeah. Like a couple of bites, I'm already starting to feel a little bit more alive.
Yeah, you look a little bit more alive.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, when she walked in here, she was like,
well, that's pretty much every day.
It is. But I feel it.
But then she picks up when we begin on the air, so yeah. That's fine. You know, if she talked the way she could, she looks in the morning.
I know. Yeah. No, but I woke up this morning and I looked myself in the because I fell asleep with all my makeup on and we didn't.
Oh, your
we
eyes
didn't go.
Must have been itching and stuff. This
no,
morning. No,
I'm like a professional sleep in my makeup person. Like it doesn't even get on my pillows.
No, that's professional pass out in your makeup person.
Yeah, yeah. So I woke up this morning and like my eyeliner was like half off. My hair wasn't brushed. I was like, wow. And it's not like we went out and like had a rager.
Right.
We literally just stayed up and like talked until she left at like 11:15.
Oh, wow.
I should have eaten probably after she left, but I went straight to bed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I ate. I went out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And
with?
And I was, a friend, mm-hmm. the people in my life. And so we had some Middle Eastern food, which was great, but it was kind of late at 10 o'clock. I felt I was so bloated.
Mm.
And I had to have the dessert, you know. I was so bloated.
What's a Middle Eastern dessert?
Like, have you ever tried Bavarian cream? Like,
no.
it's like cake, but it's really, really moist. Like
I
tiramisu
hate that word.
Or something. Okay.
What, moist?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, no, but that's what it
I
is.
I hate that word.
So what, wet? You like wet better?
Well, that's not a really good way to describe cake. Yo, come
Why?
Get this wet cake.
Well, because it's dry cakes.
Yeah, there is dry cake.
This one's got a lot of cream.
Yeah. Do you like Bavarian, dry cake?
Bavarian cream.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you guys are having a discussion about wet versus moist.
Yeah.
I hate the word moist.
Yeah. Well, we have to agree what words we like.
That's like
You
saying,
don't have a list of words you don't like?
Oh, yeah. Maimed is one. I mean, injured conveys the point, but you don't have to say maimed.
I've never heard anybody say that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's because you're a youngster.
Maybe if someone's like talking about like an animal attack.
Yeah, you maim. You know, you injure badly. It's to say injured badly.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with you on that. I feel like that word is very awkward.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Pick up your chair. You sink it again. I think you got the chair that goes down. And you see, there you go. Now you're taller.
What words do you hate?
Do I hate words? I don't, really. I mean,
there's not one where you hear and you're just like, ugh. Like chunky. No. I hate the word chunky.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do when it comes to peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. Well, no one should eat chunky peanut butter.
No,
that's so weird.
It's like, no. Yeah. I don't even eat regular peanut butter. So,
really? You don't like peanut butter?
Oh, well, I used to be allergic to peanuts, so I never developed a taste for peanut butter.
Right.
And unfortunately, everything you eat has peanuts in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just true.
In America, it is that way.
Yeah, like you have to like literally read at the restaurant what ingredients is in it
because
you could die.
It as a fill.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Like regular M&Ms. You think regular M&Ms are safe. No.
Yeah.
There's ground peanuts in them.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have the peanut M&Ms, and then they have regular M&Ms
right.
that have ground up peanuts in it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So there's no M&Ms without peanuts?
Nope.
There you go. If you guys have a problem with M&Ms, now you know why.
I feel
why.
Like that's the worst allergy to have.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My face swole up like 3 times its size when I was a kid.
Really?
Oh, my God.
You have to use an EpiPen?
That's terrible.
No, they didn't have them then.
Mm.
Yeah. Which you talk about being a child and all that.
I was never a child.
Well, no. But it reminds me of the vaccine controversy right now. Danny, have you heard about this now? So what do you think? Do you think people should vaccinate or not vaccinate their kids? Tell me what you think, then we'll discuss it, Jim. Hold on. Let's see what she thinks.
I don't know if I had a kid, if I would do it.
Have it vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I just feel like they say, yeah. could be false.
Right.
That it could lead to stuff that's not good for your child.
Right, like autism and stuff. There's absolutely no evidence that shows that that's true.
But there's no evidence that shows that it isn't true either.
It is. Because, there's evidence that vaccines work. Because, look, we've conquered measles. We've conquered all the polio.
I just
polio,
don't think measles are like a polio. Thing anymore.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it's back.
They're
it's
getting
back.
Big again.
That's why they're talking about it. They're back. Like, outbreaks in L.A. and New York. It's back because there are people that did not get vaccinated, right. I think.
Yeah, because a lot of people are choosing not to vaccinate their kids.
Right, but you're risking everybody else.
I haven't gotten a flu shot in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably since I was in college and it was a requirement.
Well, flu is, you know, that I don't know, that one is questionable whether it stops anything. But polio and measles, you know, they work. We eradicated them. And now they're back, right. You know.
Well, I just feel like for me, it was that video that ended up being fake, but of the chick who got the flu shot and then she had to walk backwards.
Really?
But then they caught her like at the grocery store 2 years later and they're like, you're full of shit. Like, you just wanted to check. So I know it was bullshit, but still it made me think like, well, we don't really know what these are doing to our bodies.
Yeah.
Honestly. And then you have like this whole debate about population control and like if everyone's on the bandwagon of doing the same thing, like what if that you're the one out of the 5 or 10 people where something goes wrong and right. the government's like, oh, well.
But let me tell you, I think, Jim, with the vaccine thing is do whatever the hell you want as long as it doesn't hurt other people. But if you're going to be sharing your measles with somebody else, you know.
But you can't. You're contradicting yourself in one sentence.
Why?
Because if people chose to do whatever they want, they could choose to not get vaccinated, not knowing that they're going to get
saying
measles.
No, you can do whatever you want that doesn't hurt other people.
Right, as long as you're not
harming
another person. Yeah,
but they're not going to know if they're going to get measles. It's like a sickness that just comes in and all of a sudden you have it.
No, but you're risking it, you know? That's the thing is, if you vaccinate, you know you're not going to get it. But what do you think, Jim?
Well, I have a grandson that's autistic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born autistic. His shots had nothing to do with it.
Right. I do believe some people are born autistic.
But personally, I think that if your kid is in public school, then your kid needs to be vaccinated against whatever they vaccinate against.
I think so too.
Because the risk of infecting other kids for no reason other than the fact that I don't want to run the risk of my kid coming down with autism.
Right.
You're right. There's no proof that it does that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the thing is
but
that
there are children that develop autism at like 3 or 4.
Yes. But that doesn't mean that they got it from the vaccine.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that they did it.
Well, no. But, you know, they don't scientifically test anything to prove it doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah, so it's like a tough debate. Like Gabby, I know, got Marcellus a few vaccinations, but not all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to vaccinate, you know, I mean, there are some diseases that are so virulent and so easily caught. Measles is one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Flu shot, I don't give a
yeah,
shit.
It's like,
I mean,
and then I feel like you could survive the flu.
I get a flu
with,
shot
like,
every year only because my doctor grabs my arm and sticks a needle in and says, there, you're done.
I'd say, fuck you.
But, you know, the problem with the flu shot is it doesn't cover all the flus.
Right.
It covers whatever.
I didn't even know there was more than one flu.
Exactly. And it only covers what's popular right then.
Right.
You know, but there may be other flus that are out there that you're going to get and you're not vaccinated against.
Yeah.
It,
and so. Then you just have some chicken noodle soup and take care of yourself. Like, okay. Stay home for a week.
Yeah, but make,
you
it,
can
from,
make, it.
Make it from scratch. Don't eat Campbell's because that's like.
Yeah, it's very crap. Processed. It's, honestly, it's, I don't.
You
know, it's very processed.
I gotta tell you though, when I was a kid, probably when Jim was young as well, the doses of the vaccines were a lot stronger because those diseases were still around.
Right.
So we got like really big doses, you know.
Right.
And what happens is that now it's a lot lighter, and we all turned out okay for the most part. You know, I don't know. They, if If those vaccines caused something, I think by now they would have caught it. You know what I'm saying? They would have identified, okay, so vaccines can screw you up like this or like that. What? It's like 50-some, 60 years since I was born. Come on.
But I just feel like there's certain stuff that we as a population aren't going to know. Like, just like for 110%, there's a cure for cancer. 110%, there's a cure for AIDS.
No,
they're not going to put that on the market, though.
Yeah, but, you know, those are all conspiracy. I don't know. Why wouldn't they? You know how much money they would make?
If what?
If they found the cure for cancer?
I don't think so. I don't think they would make any money because no one will be sick anymore.
No, but they got so many people that they're going to have to take care of. You're not talking about vaccine. You're talking about something that happens after.
Yeah, but just like a vaccine, if something was going on with it, I don't know if we would be the first people to know. They'd probably be like talking about it behind the scenes or in a lab or something. I don't think they're going to be like posting their findings. I'm sure they've signed like heavy duty documentation.
Yeah,
too.
But I think these things cannot stay secret for too long.
I wouldn't think they would vaccinate for cancer or AIDS.
Yeah.
No. I'm not saying there would be a vaccination for that.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So that's what I'm saying. You'll always have people needing it because new people get cancer. They'll need the medication.
I don't know. I just feel like with all the like new technology and all this stuff, I just find it hard to believe that there wouldn't be like a cure already.
Well, yeah. Eventually, there probably will be.
Like, don't you think it's a little weird that Magic Johnson is literally like the healthiest dude on the face of the planet? He's had HIV for like 25 years. Right. But then like everybody else on the streets is like suffering and dying within like a couple of years.
He has a great doctor that keeps him well medicated.
Yeah, with probably the cure. So
with the cure,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I don't really care about conspiracies. If it ever comes down to it, I would just go the holistic route anyway. But
yeah,
I don't really like talking about it because I feel like
Well, you know, you talk about it, you get it. That's what happens.
No, that's like a horrible saying and actually kind of fucked up.
You talk about it. I don't want to talk about cancer because I'm. Oh, guess what?
No,
that's horrible.
Well, he's not wishing it on you.
No, people talk about cancer every day.
I know they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have cancer.
Not necessarily. You don't know. You don't know.
Come on, okay.
You don't know everybody.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think that when you talk about a subject.
No, I'm only teasing.
Yeah. I'm like,
all right, relax, calm down.
No, that type of stuff freaks me out. You know this, I'm a hypochondriac now. I'm going to think I'm dying for the next 3 weeks.
No, you're not dying, relax.
Really, you're a hypochondriac?
Super.
Really?
Really? Mm-hmm. So if somebody
suffer
gets a disease, you get it too?
I just like I'll start freaking out. Like I'll look at their symptoms and I'm like, I have it too.
Oh God, you'll never make it getting married. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. I went to the doctors before I moved 37 times in 1 year.
Well, with kids, right? I mean, if kids came home sick all the time.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
me
and my twin are like that. Right. And she's like that with her kid. If he even gets like one little like red bump on his arm or something, she's like, we're going in. Something's wrong.
Do you think you'd be able to deal with kids?
I don't know. I actually had this conversation yesterday. I have no clue. Really? I don't think I would be ready for it unless I was thrown into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, nobody is really. Who's prepared to have a child when you never had one before?
I was like telling Gabby that I almost like want to have a surrogate.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want, because I'm getting older. I'm about to be 31. I just don't want my body to go to shit.
But listen, that's not the point. The point is that I think the joy is in carrying the baby.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
Right?
Like the little kicks and
you'd
the
feel
doctor's
more like
appointments.
It's yours.
I just wonder if a surrogate carries your child, does the baby get attached to the surrogate, even if it's your genes?
Don't they remove them immediately?
No, but I'm saying during the pregnancy, like supposedly the baby can hear your voice so that when it comes out the womb, it like already has that like, oh, that's my mom or whoever she is. I don't really get the
concept.
Possibly
the subconscious. Maybe they
know it's not the real one. That's why sometimes people put like headphones on their bellies because they want their kids to like listen to classical music or hip hop because they think they're going to be like an artist.
Right.
But, like, I always wonder that. That's the only thing I fear is that the baby just would be, like, not connected to me because somebody else carried it.
Right. You know, plus the fact is just having kids is a big risk. Mm-hmm. You know, what if they come out not okay?
Yeah. Well, I feel like they have
We're
a lot of tests
autism
now.
Autism and stuff.
Like, you can take a test, like, I think at, like, I forget when Gabby took it, but they put something in your vagina that's, like, a really long needle that pricks the fetus. And I guess they test that now. To tell you at that point if your baby will have autism or not.
Really?
But then it's like, what if they tell you your baby's going to have autism?
Yeah. Do you
and
have
then
it
doesn't. Because they told my parents that my mom, you're having an autistic kid. and they went to a second doctor, and it was just that she's having twins. The first doctor didn't even fucking know that she was pregnant with twins. Wow. Yeah, but they were like, your kid's autistic.
Well, obviously, if you try to abort that baby, you're going to find out for sure what's going to happen, you know, before you do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they've had amnio tests for years and years and years.
Right.
Yeah.
They check against Down syndrome.
You know? Spina bifida, I guess, stuff like that now.
Yeah.
So they just, it used to be you were a risk if you were like late 30s, early 40s.
Right.
Now it's like, no, you're okay. If you know, 50s now they're looking at it. And what woman wants to be pregnant at 50?
No, yeah. That's right. What I'm saying. I'd feel like if I'm not pregnant by like 33, 2 years from now, I'm probably, maybe I'll adopt.
Maybe you should get busy.
No, I'm not ready right now. You can get pregnant.
Well,
you
better be. I mean, if you want to do it while you're still young.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't
want to
be an old mom either. Like, right. I want to be a young ass mom.
Exactly.
Like, when my kid's 20, I don't want to be 90.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be 75 on my way out when my kid is just graduating from high school.
My last I was 35 when my last one was born.
Yeah. I feel like 35 is like a good age.
Right.
Like at 30, if I got pregnant at 35, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, but you'd be better if you had it now too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sexually active.
Right.
So I'm not having babies anytime soon.
Right. And there's no one on the horizon.
No, not a single person.
Right.
Like, I don't even have like one dude I can call on like a Friday night.
For
when
a
I just
want to
get, a single person in my
phone. And especially not a long term one, right?
Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
like that is even close.
No. It's really hard out here.
Well, you're looking in the wrong places.
I'm not looking right now.
No, but when you did.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, I went out, I had a chance to go out with my friends, and we went out to a couple of bars and clubs and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, man, if I tell you some of the things there, first of all, so we go out there, the three of us, and I get totally overshadowed by them, right?
Well, so, twins are really hard to hang out with.
No, but people are attracted to it, you know?
Well, they're attracted to twins. Though.
Right.
That's the thing, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
When I was a kid, the principal told my parents, we can't put these girls in the same class anymore. It's really distracting to the other kids. Yeah,
exactly.
Because people don't understand it, especially if we finish each other's sentences or like we have the same exact laugh.
Right.
People get like overwhelmed by it.
Right. And it's a novelty to see two people looking the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And behaving the same.
Uh-huh.
So, everywhere we went, they would get all the attention. Uh-huh. And I just kind of like said in the back, I thought, this is bullshit. You
No, you get too, in your head about shit.
I know.
Like 110%.
No, I know. But listen, like, for example, let me tell you, we were sitting at the table. We got to the bar early. So we actually, like 9:30, right. There was hardly anybody there. Mm-hmm. The band was starting at 10. So we sat at the table. And, I'm 58. They're 50, those twins. And we're sitting there. And then this cute girl comes in. And my friend goes, take a picture of us with our camera. And she said, great. So after she did, she sat down. She turned
with
out
you
to
guys.
Be 30,
right?
She turned out to be 30. And as we're talking, the music starts. It's so fucking loud, I can't hear anything. So they're having a conversation with her, the two twins. I'm sitting here, right? And then they start laughing, and he's like, I said, what's going on? You know, well, she made fun of you. I said, well, what the fuck happened? You know, what'd she say? So she asked him if I was their father. Okay, like it just.
Okay,
maybe,
you guys don't look that far off in age.
I know.
That's crazy.
But that's what I'm saying. But I must have looked old to her compared to the other
ones.
They
look older too, though.
She was 30 and she looked 24, you know? But no, I know. But maybe from 30 to 50, it's not a big deal. I don't know. But it's not like she went with them or anything. I'm
just saying
that the joke was on me. And
well, she's
that
a bitch.
Made me feel, that made me feel really fucking bad. No, but it's the truth, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people probably don't see me that way.
No, but I feel like they look older, too. They look like older men. I wouldn't walk into a bar and be like, this dude's 40.
Right.
That's not what I... And first of all, if the first thing she did was sit down and talk to them, she's looking for a daddy. A lot of women my age want older men. It's really weird. It's like this new thing. It's like a new phenomenon. Everyone wants someone 50 and older.
Well, we were talking about this. I brought up the thing, and she's like, oh, well, I have friends that do that, but I don't do that.
No, I'm not talking about sugar daddy. I'm just saying they want to date someone older. Like this chick at my restaurant, it'll be funny. Like someone like Nick Jonas came in. I was like, oh, my God, he is so beautiful in person. And then this chick that I work with, every single dude who has like gray white hair, probably close to 60, she's like, oh.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, what
wow,
the fuck?
You need to introduce her to me. What
the she looks Maybe young, too. Hope. She's 33, I think.
Really?
Yeah, and she's like, everyone I date is like 50 and up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, something's wrong there,
Well, I think it's daddy
right?
issues, probably. Yeah, yeah. And I had this conversation on my podcast. I go, hey, when people say daddy during sex, I think they have daddy issues. Because I have never in my life called a man that I was sleeping with daddy.
There's women that do that?
Yes. It's really? Like a popular thing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, now you're learning, you see. That's why I love having her on the show, because she knows all these things that we're not privy to at all, you know, with the younger people.
Yeah, they like, we'll have sex, and they'll be like, yeah, give it to me, daddy.
Wow.
I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Why?
But anyway,
some
dude,
people will
just
add
like,
a Z.
That
so
brought me
sad.
Down. So then the rest of the women I didn't even want to see. My friends then get up. No, I mean, but listen.
You need to
I
work was, on your confidence.
No, no. Okay. But let me tell you what
yeah,
happened.
Yeah,
okay?
Go for it.
So the conversation with the girl, that was the first time I felt left out,
right.
like alienated.
Right.
Okay.
How were you guys so sitting, then, though?
Like, okay, she. I was sitting here across from her.
Right.
And they were sitting on either side of
okay,
her.
Okay, okay.
So
oh.
they could have the conversation.
So all three were next to each other and you were on the opposite
right.
side of the table
right.
across from them.
Right, right.
I would feel like you would be more into the conversation.
I tried to, but there was music. So I'm trying to hear what they're saying. I don't hear shit.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying,
right.
Jim? So what happened is
That's
and then they get up.
Clubs.
Then they get yeah. up. They go outside. They have a cigarette. I told him, go. I'll watch the table for us so nobody will take the table.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm waiting 5-10 minutes. They're not coming back. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? I go outside. I said, fuck the table. They started talking to people outside there. And I'm like, so again, I'm feeling abandoned. That's not in my head.
Yeah.
They forgot about me.
No.
Okay, so listen. So I go outside. Now, so they were talking to this couple, right? A man and a woman. Listen yeah. to me.
I am listening.
Okay.
I'm getting a kick
go,
out of it, trust me.
I'm sure you do, as I'm going through hell that night. And so then they go, okay, let's get some drinks. Let's get around. He goes, comes back with drinks for everybody except me.
Who did, the couple?
No, my friend.
Well, your friend's an ass.
Okay, so at the end of the... So the next... Oh, so what happened is... Listen, at that point I said enough. I told him I'm leaving. You guys take a fucking Uber home.
Right.
I'm
so
just
you drove.
Leaving. So I drove. Yeah, I was the one driving.
I'm right. taking the Benz.
Exactly. Right. And I wasn't drinking a lot either. I just had one beer because I thought that when you go outside the bar... There's 5 police cars just waiting
oh,
for
I'm
someone.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm absolutely certain about
right?
that.
Right, right, right.
So I thought, you know, I got to keep it cool. And what I learned also is when you're around people that are drunk, mm-hmm. you got to be drunk too or don't be there.
Exactly.
Because a straight person...
I told you this. I went out to the club last Thursday and yeah. I was the only sober person and I was like, fuck this.
Right.
And I
what
left at like 12:45.
Right? Yeah.
Why in the world would you want to be a designated driver?
Well, I wasn't designated.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't, but
no,
I don't
I know,
drink.
But, you know,
I don't drink that much anyway, Jim. I don't get like.
Right, right,
I think designated drivers should go away now and everybody hire an Uber.
That's true. That's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you want to go out with a bunch of friends that you know are going to get hammered
mm-hmm.
and
right.
you got to stay sober?
Right. Good idea.
But even at that, it's just like easier just to take an Uber because like you could think that you want
right.
to be the designated driver and then it just takes a couple mistakes and you're like, well, man, like if I leave my car here, it's going to get towed and then like all the risk of, you
right.
know.
Or broken into.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So then people right. make bad decisions really quickly.
Yeah.
Just like Uber. Anyway, did you end up leaving?
But anyway, oh, okay. So before that, the point where I actually was leaving is we went back. And my friend knew one of the women in the 3-woman group, okay? So before I know it, they're both being grabbed to dance by these women, and I'm standing there again, left out. So that's why I left.
Right.
So the next day I told him, I said, listen, you guys abandoned me 4 fucking times last night. 4 fucking times.
I don't
think
they process it, though.
No. Well, once I told them, they said, you're fucking right. You know, we were wrong.
That doesn't mean they're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're drunk. I told them,
yeah.
I said, that's why, you know, I mean, when you go out with people, either drink with them or don't go at all.
I mean, you could go, but just go for a little bit and say I'm out.
But it's not fun. You know, they're having fun because they're somewhere else.
But are they having minds. Fun, though? Really, well, though? In the grand scheme of things?
No, but at least they don't make sense to me. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a perfect scenario for guys who are like over 55. And they're going to go out for an evening.
Right.
With your woman or with friends.
Right.
Find
right.
a nice piano bar.
Yeah.
That you can sit and you can drink and you can have,
well,
you
like
can
a
have
restaurant.
Conversations.
Yeah.
And you don't have to listen to some band blurring in your ear.
Right.
But they're playing soft music over here and a piano. And
right.
Right, but then people are not standing and picking up each other like they do in a bar, you know, where you stand up, there's a band.
Aren't you a little
people
past
walking
that
around.
By now?
Well, no, I mean, you go out to a bar to pick up somebody, no?
No, I don't.
Nah.
So what, just to
I'll
have
go,
fun?
Yeah, I'll just to be with like the people that I'm with. I don't ever go out with the intentions I want to meet somebody.
Well, men do. Single men do.
Bar hookups.
True.
Are way overrated.
I know.
Yeah, and they I don't know. And they don't last. They don't build into something that's going to last forever.
Well, you
and
never
ever,
know.
Ever.
I mean, my friend met this woman at a bar. Well, the thing is, she's married, but
exactly.
But no, but he's not. He's not having sex with her. He told her we can't do this. But she told him I'm going through a separation, and her husband is blessing that, but he still won't do it. So, but at any rate, he met her at a bar, and this could be a long distance relationship. You never know.
Did I tell you about the chick that I met at the bar last week that freaked me out?
No.
I told you about that, right?
No.
I went to a bar after my podcast last Tuesday, and I started just having a random conversation because I like to do that with strangers.
Right.
And it was like one of those bars where there was music playing, but not loud enough for you to... That's why I like going to bars. I'd rather go to a bar than a club. So right. We're like having a conversation, and she started talking about her ex. So she's only had sex with two people her life. She's about to be 33. And the second guy that she's had sex with, he has been in her life for 7 years. And in those 7 years, she has only had sex with him 6 times.
Really?
That's once every like year and what?
Yeah.
Almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
Right.
So how fucked up this dude has gotten this chick freaked me out to a level where I really had to like sit down and be like, I hope no one ever makes me this way.
Right.
She's a fucking lunatic. But you could tell that she wasn't a lunatic before she met him. Like
right.
He fucked whatever he said or did to her has fucked her up for the rest of her life.
Wow.
But they met at a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I'm good meeting anyone at a bar ever.
I know. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Do?
Cocktail but, lounge, piano bar.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Even and like the restaurant I work at, like there's people 50 and up in there all the time, but they sometimes complain about like it being loud, but it's not loud because of music. It's loud because everyone is talking in there.
Well, yeah, that's always a problem.
Yeah.
But.
And it's communal seating. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's like, so it'll be like a table like this, and it'll have 6 seats. So if you're like on a date, you and your date have to sit across from each
oh,
other.
Oh, gotcha.
Not next to each
oh,
other.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Some, like things. Some restaurant.
Yeah. Wow. So it's even louder because when you're on your date, you're like, so anyways,
right.
Today when I was at
and
the
you're
bar,
sharing with the person next to you.
Three, no, it's 6 people at a table.
Yeah, and
you and your date are only 2 seats.
And then you find out you say something that stops everyone talking.
Right.
They're going,
yeah, and then everyone jumps in. So sometimes it works out and it's cool and you make new friends. And then other times people are like, can we move to a different table? The people next to us are really loud.
Are really loud, yeah.
And we're like, well, it's a 3-hour wait. So sit down and eat or...
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah. Or like, get on the wait list.
Like Jerry tells me... Occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally she goes, shh.
Yeah.
Do you know how loud you're talking?
Yeah, right?
No. I have no
sometimes
clue.
You don't realize
we
it.
Don't
yeah.
realize it.
Yeah.
No,
you
no.
know, and I tell her, look, I said, I spent a lot of years in theater, and the one thing that my theater teacher used to do was stand in the back of the theater and yell, project.
Yeah.
So right. You learn.
To project.
To project.
Yeah, and, I've had people say that to me, too. Like, you're talking
it's
really loud.
Hard to
yeah.
stop.
Yeah,
right.
Because
right.
you know, I mean, you
but
project,
you get passionate and excited yeah. about what you're talking
right.
about.
Well, it's projecting your voice, not yelling,
yeah.
right?
But talking normally, loudly,
right?
Yeah.
And many people don't get that.
No,
you know, Israelis are like that. I mean, they're all like that.
Yeah.
You know? So people think we fight,
well, Italians
but
too.
We don't. Yeah, we don't fight.
Yeah, Italians are definitely like
that's
that.
That's true.
For
yeah,
sure,
yeah.
I feel like I'm like that.
Well,
yeah.
But then there's some people that like come into the restaurant and they're so soft spoken that when I'm putting their name on the wait list, I have to ask them like six times for their name because I just cannot.
Your name again, Wes?
Yeah, I cannot hear them.
They're so insecure. I know.
I'm like, what?
Or some handshakes are like that too, like a limp hand. You know, when people
I hate that.
I'm like, give me your strong hand.
You know what else?
Right, but it makes you feel like they're not respecting you, right?
You know what else? Just irritating as hell. People who are soft spoken.
Right.
And then when they talk to you, they turn away.
Yeah.
And so you're already having a hard time trying to hear what they're saying.
Right.
And now they turn away and talk to the wall or right. over here.
And no eye contact.
And you go, what?
Right.
They say, what are you, deaf? No.
Right.
You talk quietly and now you're talking to the wall.
Right.
You know, the wall can't hear you.
I think that's, they might just be like a little insecure. Maybe they have bad breath.
That may be.
Yeah.
Because
sometimes they have bad breath. They don't want to be like.
Yeah.
Like, actually, someone asked me this question the other day. They're like, well, because I do like advice on my YouTube channel like once a week. So somebody submitted a question, was like, my best friend has bad breath. How do I tell them?
Right.
And I'm like, if that's your best friend, you flat out tell them.
Right.
Like, but for me, I guess I'm like, how do you not know that you don't have good breath?
Right.
Right. Right.
Like when I eat certain foods, I know, like right now I just ate a burrito. I know I have like guacamole carne asada breath. Till I brush my teeth.
But please, but most people are not going to smell it unless they're really close to you.
No,
you know,
but I'm saying like not the bad breath that's like, oh my God. How do they not smell that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the worst one is when you have bacteria in your teeth and then you have bad breath.
Right.
Period. You know, not because of something you ate, but
that's
because
what I'm saying.
Teeth.
Halitosis or something. Whatever it's called.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, like the dentist says it's caused by sulfur.
What's sulfur?
Yeah. Sulfur.
It's like
it's a mineral that gets in your system.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that sulfate? I'm thinking of sulfate. I'm like, wait, isn't that in wine?
Sulfate. Maybe
sulfides are in wine.
Yeah.
Sulfate you put on your grass.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, who would know? It's the same thing.
They all start with soul.
I never heard either word. So there you go. You know.
Oh man, yeah. So I didn't. I just said it. You got to tell them. Try to do it in like a kind of like a nice way at first. Like every time you're out, be like, do you want gum? And if they don't get it, be like, listen, I love you to death, but like I would go get your teeth checked. Because sometimes it could be a cavity that they didn't know they had or something.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be a piece of roast.
Most times people that don't take care of their teeth.
But people don't know that the teeth are the number one gateway to your health. You have fucked up teeth, you're probably going to have fucked up health.
Probably, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandpa had really bad teeth, and it led to all his health problems. If he
really?
Took care of his teeth, probably would have lived longer.
Yeah.
His doctor said that straight up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. Who knew?
The
voice joining us today is Jim Christina. Jim has been a host with us for how long now, Jim?
4 years, the 21st of this month.
Wow, wow. Now, there's persistence for you, you know? And you've been doing the show called The Writer's Block.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
A writer's block is usually something that somebody has when they can't think of what to write.
Correct.
Right? And
they get stuck.
Right. But you just thought like a double meaning.
Double entendre.
A double entendre.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was good. So you came up with this name.
I did.
Then you guys started with Bobby, right?
Bobby. She's still on the show.
Right. No, but you started with her.
Started with her in the studio, yeah.
Right. And then she moved, right?
She moved to Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Does she like it there?
She does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there to Albuquerque?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Last time I was through Albuquerque, I was sound asleep because it was on a train. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. So.
Yeah. Have you been there?
No.
No reason to go really, unless you.
And the train station in Albuquerque is not exactly in the best part of town. So.
Isn't that where people go to like retire?
I'm pretty well. I guess
maybe.
Albuquerque.
Well,
sounds
not
like
necessarily.
A
yeah. It's in New Mexico.
Yeah, it's New Mexico. It's kind of centralized, so.
Yeah.
You can pretty much go anywhere in New Mexico from Albuquerque.
Right.
Albuquerque.
Right. Yeah,
it's funny. Nobody ever talks about New Mexico.
No,
you know?
Never.
Nothing happening there.
Never, never.
Yeah. But she moved. She moved, and she's happy there. And then we brought in Richard Polinelli.
Right.
He came in and filled in, and then he moved to Iowa, Nebraska, someplace back there.
Right.
One of those Midwest.
Also to retire or something.
No. His wife took a job at. She's running some big, huge clinic back there. She's making tons of cash. So
wow.
So, and then Richard left, and now we brought in Bob Brill, who is from KNX 1070 Radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does a show there. He's got the midnight shift.
Yeah.
And Bob's a good guy, and he's a great host. And so
He's into books, too.
And he's a writer.
Right.
He writes Westerns, and so he's perfect for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you write Westerns as well.
I do.
So tell us a little bit about that. You've written how many books now?
15.
15 books, Danny.
That's a lot.
I haven't even written one, goddammit, you know. I need to at least write one.
You know what? You probably never will.
Yeah.
Why? You need to put your mind to it. Huh?
Well, no.
It's just like if you're a writer, you're a writer.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a writer, you're a writer. If you don't have a story to tell.
Right. The hell with
you. You don't have a story to tell.
That's true.
And just because everyone else is writing doesn't mean you have to write too.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Many people write their autobiographies and nobody really cares, you know? I mean, people that you don't know.
My books.
Some people do, though.
My books are Westerns, and they're authentic and they're very realistic.
Yeah.
To the point where some people get kind of like, they got to put it down because they go, whoa.
Really?
I got to stop reading this for a few minutes.
What does that mean? Do you get into detail of violence?
Having been in combat, I know how bullet holes work, and I know how bullet strikes on people look.
Right.
And I know how people feel when they get shot. So if you can say that and you can write it into a story, it gives it more realism.
That's true. Wow.
Because, you know, if you get shot with a 45 caliber pistol, you don't fly backwards through a window.
Yeah.
Most of the time you stand there and you wonder what the hell happened.
That happens with a shotgun, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blow you. It's like this one guy in one of my books, he gets shot and he stops and he looks down and he's got this hole.
Wow.
And it just starts bleeding and then all of a sudden it starts gushing and he goes, shit.
And then he dies.
Yeah, you shot me.
Then you realize it.
Yeah, and then he just kind of like dropped.
Yeah. That's usually how it works in movies, I feel.
Yeah, well,
like when they get shot,
Jim
has
experienced the real thing.
Yeah.
You know, he was in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And many of you don't know that, but you've seen some things.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And they prefer not to talk about it.
But at least you channel it through the books and stuff.
Well, I put it in the Westerns, and plus I know a lot about the horses and the tack and the period, so it's easy for me to write a story.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now, Westerns, what do you usually write about? Is it like crimes and things like that, and then people chasing them?
Some of them are written about a manhunter in the 1880s in Arizona and his protege, and it's just they're chasing people for whatever reason.
Right.
Some of them are, I wrote one about the 7th Cavalry on the way to Battle of the Little Bighorn.
Uh-huh.
I wrote, the last two have been really bestsellers, and, one is about a mountain man, a boy that becomes a mountain man at 10 years old.
Wow.
And, because back in the 1830s, at 11 years old, you were a man. You don't think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an 11-year-old boy now, it's like.
11-year-old boy now is like an idiot.
Yeah, it's like,
but 11 years old in the 1830s, you come off a farm, you've been building barns and plowing fields.
Wow,
and,
yeah.
You know, so you're virtually...
Because they didn't live very long, right?
Well,
so they had to mature quickly.
I think that's...
What do you mean they didn't live very long?
They didn't live as long as we do
now. Well, they didn't have the medical care and stuff that we have now.
Right.
But some of them lived to be ripe old ages, and I mean ripe old ages into their 80s.
Right. So why did they have to mature so quickly? Because it was survival.
Zone,
right, right.
Yeah.
Right. That's why everybody carried a gun. You had to survive.
I think
it's so interesting how things were in different decades,
right?
You know,
these guys, this kid hooks up with this old mountain man, what they used to call themselves, Rocky Mountain free traders, free trappers.
Mm.
And he hooked up with them, and they went by boat from the Mississippi River up the Missouri River to the confluence of the Yellowstone, and they grabbed and went into a Blackfoot village, and they traded and got horses, and then they went up into the mountains.
Wow.
And from there, and he bought this kid a old flintlock rifle, a little 45 caliber flintlock rifle that he could handle at 11 years old. And he's carrying this big old Hawkins 63 caliber gun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, big G gun.
Can you imagine writing about a period that you didn't even live in? You know, that's pretty cool, all the research you've done.
Yeah, it's a lot of research. Yeah. A lot of research.
And well, then, that's what a lot of people that we've had on the show that have written about different time periods say. They have to do, like, tons and tons of research before they could ever.
Yeah, you can't. No, it's not like writing
I forgot
today.
To tell you that I watched Highwaymen.
Oh, isn't that a great show?
I liked it.
It was good, but it was a little longer than it should have been.
It was slow, too,
It was very, and I actually Googled it because I wanted the original pictures of the crime scene.
Right.
And it's actually on there. They show, like, the dead bodies in the car. Right. I'm like,
and the car full of holes.
Yeah.
Bullet holes. Yeah.
And then the fact that people, like, freaked out. First of all, you know it's a different time period when they're dragging the dead bodies in the car down the street. Yeah. That would never happen now.
Yeah.
Ever happen now.
Yeah. They hooked it up to a truck.
Yeah. And then,
but it happens in other countries.
And then people are like wiping their bloods on them and like, woo!
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And grabbing, cutting pieces of material up. Yeah. They did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird. But yeah, I mean, the movie was good. I watched it from beginning to end in one sitting, but it was slow. It was really slow for my liking.
I agree with you.
Those are like one of my favorite actors, too. I love Woody. But
and that's it. They focused on the relationship between them more than about Bonnie and Clyde. They hardly showed you Bonnie and Clyde.
Well, the movie wasn't about finding.
Yeah. It was about Frank them. Hammer and his partner.
Right. So,
they've been partners for years.
Yeah, and then they stopped being partners.
Yeah.
And both their lives, I mean, one's life worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
And then the other's kind of like went to shit. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was in the movie.
In the end?
No, in the very beginning.
Very beginning.
Oh, like, in the beginning.
He's like an unemployed alcoholic.
Right, and then they get back together.
Right.
Okay, for
like
the
he basically
movie.
Asked him to give him some purpose in life. That's basically what the movie was about. And then I Googled both of them and I read. So basically, it was a 3-hour time slot of my life watching the movie and then researching about it after. Because I always have to do that when it's based on a true story. But I think there's definitely some parts that I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You could have cut this out for sure.
Yeah.
You dragged. Know, my last book I wrote, it's called Jefferson's Chance. And it's a story of a kid who loses his leg to a snake bite when he's 10.
That's horrible.
He wants to be a Texas Ranger. His father had been a Texas Ranger. And 3 months before he gets bit, his father died. So he wants to be a Texas Ranger. So he grows.
Depressing story.
He grows up. Well, he grows up with this wooden leg, and he goes. The Texas Rangers keep saying no. You know, you only have one leg.
Right, right.
He goes, no, I got two. Just one of them's wood. And he goes, no, you can't. You know, he says, I'll tell you what, Jefferson. You grow yourself a new leg, and you can join the Rangers. So he, where do you go when you get told something? You know, bad news like that. You go right to the saloon. You know, wouldn't you?
At the bar?
And he meets a guy in there. He's an engineer. He's engineered and built the first suspension bridge in the United States over the Brazos River in Waco, Texas. Guy, real guy.
Yeah.
Name is Thomas Griffith.
Okay.
And he tells Jefferson, he says, I can design you a new leg.
Really?
That'll work just like an original leg. And he goes, yeah. So they work off the steel. He says, look, if it works, I want the patent. That's all I want.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He says, well, how long will it take to build it? He goes, I don't know. He said, I don't build them. I design them. So he gets this old blacksmith to build him this leg. And he brings it to his house. And a couple weeks later, he's walking around like nobody even knows he's got a limp. Nobody even knows he's got a fake leg.
And so back in
1876.
1800s.
So he goes to the Texas Rangers office and he jumps up on the boardwalk. He goes into the office and he's dancing around this captain.
Wow.
And the guy says, would you grow a new leg?
Yeah.
Apparently.
You must have.
He says, okay. He says, raise your right hand.
Yeah.
So the story goes and goes and goes. But the bottom line is that I think it's interesting because Jefferson doesn't ever live on the fact that he's got a fake leg.
Yeah.
People are very surprised when they see him caring for his leg at night.
Right, right.
And they look at him and go, whoa, what is that?
You know? Right. And now it's like prosthetics are like such a big thing. It's like so normal now.
Exactly. And they're making them now so you can't even tell people have a prosthetic.
Wow. Right.
But you
very
know,
nice. Well, I like the idea. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's and you know, he winds up, unfortunately, spoiler alert, he winds up getting killed at the end of the book. But yeah. But you know, he went down hard, and that's yeah. That's what the guy who takes his body
it's
back
very
to his mother's
story.
Ranch.
Why? But it's father died, loses leg,
but like it's
happiness,
like,
and then death.
It's like my it's like my friend Steve Cosetto says. He goes, you know, he says bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, and I've noticed that. And then shitty people will be like.
They live through it.
Yeah. That's like, and shitty people have all the money, living the best lives. I'm like, you guys are shitty people, though.
That's why you have to believe there's probably, there's got to be a life after this one, because it's impossible that bad people would get away with their shit and good people would not be rewarded.
It's karma.
Yeah.
But that's some people don't get karma in their lifetime.
Not this lifetime.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to believe there's an afterlife.
When they come back as a cockroach, that's karma.
And then they get stepped on immediately.
Listen, guys, we're totally out of time. We're over time. Jim Christina, tell people how they can find you or listen to you.
They can listen to me right here at LA Talk Radio on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And the writer's block, they can reach me at jimchristina.net, which is my website, or jimchristina@yahoo.com is my email address.
There you go. And check out his books. Obviously, if you like the genre,
go to Amazon.
This is a place to go.
Amazon's like Amazon. Has everything.
Jim, well, we love you. Thank you again for joining us,
thanks
as always. Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
Are you feeling better now with the burrito on your stomach?
Yeah, but I didn't really like it.
Okay, well, it filled the
But I do feel
space.
Better. I needed something.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to go to Starbucks. I knew if I went to Starbucks, I'd get a coffee, and I'm giving up coffee for a month.
There you go. Well, we have to hold you to that.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold me to it. Yeah. Ask me every day.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.